Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio. I'm coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege to show you I'm highly.
Please enter your PIN followed by the pound or hash. If you do not know your PIN, please enter pound or hash.
This is the way it works. And for some reason,
thank you.
We are now trying our best to be able to come to you to Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise. Mirage speaks. And this is our Tuesday. Tuesday is a special day because we started out on Tuesday. And when you start out on Tuesday, that's the only real show that I was pretty much on, and I thought it to be a phenomenal show. And I had people in all walks of life tuning in. And then I got to thank my facilitators, those who decide to come on the air and help me to be able to do 1 week of broadcast. Now, I used to do every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and I had men and women that joined me and helped me a great deal. And some of them last a long time. One passed away. May Allah be pleased with and grant him paradise. And some had to, because of conditions, couldn't continue. It's okay. And Allah sent me help. And we have a brother that's with us, Eli Obey, and he's been with me for 40 years. Never knew he would have to come on the radio and speak. But that's the Imam Walter Dean Muhammad. And never anyone could ever imagine that he would be on for so many years of doing this. And we had other brothers that was doing it, they had to do things that they was doing in their life. And so here comes, we call him doctor. He has three doctor degrees, and he's now on his double master degree. And then he took over as the engineer and joined. He's the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, and looks just like his father. And he's an educator. And this man has helped us a great deal right now today. You hear him on Friday. And he teaches around the world military men of the Navy base. And on Friday, we come back and Murad Muhammad, a question. I don't program anyone. But they do ask me questions on Friday. And we do that at 5 o'clock. And on Saturday, I just heard her voice, my niece, Salima Muhammad, her sister, Dr. Nadira Muhammad. And they teach well, and they interview a lot of females, and they now have tapped into the minds of the man. And this coming Saturday, they will have Eli Obey. She's hearing it for the first time because she hadn't called him, I don't think. She didn't have his number, nor has he called her. But they both are listening to me, and you will hear the life story of Eli Obey. And he's like everyone else. I don't really mind doing it, but I like doing it. I don't like talking about myself. But he understands his communication and what he has done in his life was unbelievable, and it should be written so his great-great-grandsons can turn this on, or his daughter can turn this on and see their grandpa and respect what the grandpa has done. And this is the communication, brothers and sisters, Block Talk Radio, conference call. All that is considered communication. Something that we don't have. And it's designed that we don't have it. If you don't believe it, let me introduce it to you, and maybe I can tap into your intellectual mind. They went around the country, buying the networks that the African-American had, whether it was radio, coast to coast, they brought that, whether it was Barry Gordy or Motown, they brought that. Whether it was Gamble and Huff for Philly International, they brought that. And more important, they brought BET. And that was to shut our communication down so you can hear one thing that you would listen to, them. Who is them? Them who don't give a damn about you. And so they brought the radio stations, they brought the TV network, number one was BET, and they paid a great deal of money, but they laughed. Those who asked for hundreds of millions, that's all you got. They would have gave you a billion. And those who asked for a billion, they laughed at you. They would have gave you 10 billion if you asked for it. And now today, we are not known as ownership of Boat Motown, ownership of Philly International, ownership of BET. Ownership of everything we had, they gave you a price. There's a price on your head, and you sold it. Even right now, Block Talk Radio came in existence for a young man that decided that he wanted to talk to his family around the world. And when he realized he can do that, he came up with the understanding, whoa, let me sell it to the people who do not have their own communications. So we paid the price. We put there the one who paid the fiddle cost the two. So they let us say what we want to say. But are we saying too much to educate you and instill in you to want something out of life, they will cut it. And what just happens? You don't talk like that. And so we have to get our own station. I thank Minister Louis Farrakhan. And may Allah be pleased with him. I have a great love for him. He created his own stream. He created his own TV, his own communication, and this is why he is successful. This is why he can say what he wants to say. But the reason why billions of people don't hear Minister Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, the reason they don't care about that because he comes with reality. He gives you actual facts, and he will fight you when it comes to the English language. And he will show you anytime. He has said many times, why don't you come on my air? Why don't you challenge me? Well, they won't do that. They don't want you to know the truth. But because he's cut off from the mainstream media, no one really knows who he is. So he has to shock you, amaze you when he walks into the building and say what he wants to say. That's what happens when you have your own. Can you imagine that so many of us got our own radio show? But if we were collectively together, we would have millions. And I got three, but there's some that got 10. There's some that got 15. There's some only got 200. There's some that got 100. There's some that got 10. But if you put it together and we were one, look at how many people we'd be able to shock and amaze. And when you're able to do that, brothers and sisters, then here come the advertisers. When you can show them a million plus consistently, they'll pay you a lot of money. That's what it's all about in communication. So do we have communication? I don't think so. I think a lot of us are lost in what's going on today. What is communication? Look what communication did for that man, George Floyd, became famous even though they killed him. But they killed them in front of the world. You see what communication does? So the former president of the United States said to us, distinctly he said, fake news, that's what you get. Fake news, the mask, fake news, the vending machine, death news. All these things that they are telling us gets in our heads called subliminal seduction. The Prophet Muhammad taught his son to teach us what it was all about. The naked eye can't see it. And it goes past to the naked eye to your subconscious. McDonald's, Burger King. Because you can hear it and you hear it and you hear it and you hear it and it bees on your mind. Even little children, they watch the TV, Burger King this, McDonald's that, and so on, Wendy's and so forth. So then children, you ask them what they want. Burger King, Wendy's. Well, I want to make a lot of money off of that. How you do? Tell them, give me all those buildings that is closing down because no one's eating now. But what? How would I buy it? I would buy it, but what would I put in it? Simple. Halal. Whoa, now children can go to Burger King because they got it all on TV. We're making money because everything in there is halal. But we can't see that because you don't want to see that your brother know that. Because he looks like you. And other likes attract. And a like repel. So you don't want no one to look like you that got the understanding or the ability to make you wealthy. It's right here amongst us. Forget me. There's a million more like us, but you won't come to them. And you don't want to invest in them. And you don't want to be a part of them. So you wonder why we catch hell. Because all we hear is fake news. Now, let me give you an example. Hitler did that. Hitler bought rails for all the citizens, especially the children. And you will hear nothing but Hitler. And because you all got radios, you turned something on, and it wasn't Hitler, they will find a way of locking you up. They'll give you a charge. So Hitler was dominating. Then they took the children and gave them toys and games and candy. Oh, did they love Hitler. But they wouldn't give him an education. What was their education? Subliminal seduction through the radio. So when mama said, oh, I know you're going to hate me for this, but I got to put you in school because you ain't going to learn. No, mama hated mama. Put me in this school. I want to play. I want to have my games. And that's what's going on today. All games, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, or you're on the internet. All games. But don't keep their mind away from anything that's going to educate them. So you mothers and fathers, you lost your child. You lost your child. Who you lost it to? Satan himself. He's a master. He cannot control you. He can't tell you what to do. Allow to give him that right. But he can give you your appetite, whatever you decide that you want to be able to have. He gives you that. So he tricks you, cons you, deceives you, and you accept. So we're going to open our lines because on Blog Talk Radio, I speak for a whole hour. With no interruption. I don't like interruption. If you like it, you can hang up. If you don't like it, it's okay. But I don't have 3 million people just because I talk. I have 3 million people because Allah blessed me to be able to talk to them. And they're mostly Jews. They're mostly Hindus. They're brothers and sisters that grew up with me. And you're trying to listen to me because who the hell am I? I grew up poor just like they did. Why should I have it? So they rebel. So we're going to say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, honorable and noble servant, messenger of God. And what follows that suit and that translation of that salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, that is mentioned in the Bible, the Torah, and is given to us in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam wa salatu ala kareem. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are trying to see if that do we realize what is Ramadan. Why is Ramadan? what time did Ramadan come? It comes to us every day of the week, months out of the week. What is Ramadan? And I'm going to open my line and see if I can take a few questions. And I ask Allah to govern my tongue and see if, in fact, I can answer your question the best of my ability. So we say, Bismillah. We don't need to say anything else, because when we say with God's name, it's sufficient. But you can say, Bismillah, our commander, Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. It's okay. You can say that. But sometimes I say, Bismillah. Everything I do, I say, Bismillah. I do it with God's name, with good intentions. With good intentions. Keep in mind, anything good that you're doing has not already been written. If you want to help others, it's already been written. If you work hard, it's already been written that you will be successful. But you're going to go through trial and error, because Allah says, first come difficulties, then comes ease. So if it's easy, brothers and sisters, run like hell. That means you're bucking up the wrong tree. Don't go for anything that you didn't earn on your own. Only mama gives you things. Did you earn it? Well, you came through that womb for 9 months. She loves you like that, but not out here in the real world. Nobody gives you nothing. If it's free, they're trying to hook you. If it's free, they're trying to kick you. If it's free, they're trying to rape you. If it's free, they're trying to kidnap you. Oh, yes, they're kidnapping children like I don't know what. Kidnapping young kids and taking their heart and their liver and their kidney. Yes, they're removing the organs from your body. Right now, today, they're doing that. So you can't go for anybody handing you something. No, thank you. If you can't read it, don't eat it. If you're in doubt, check it out. You must be able to know what you're putting in your body, because if not, they're trying to poison you very sufficiently without knowledge. So I'm going to open my line. I'm going to ask my niece, who I've been listening to, who has became a phenomenal. People love what she does. And more important, reaching a lot of people. My engineer said, yes, Marag might have millions, but you are moving up. Why? He's on the switchboard. He can see it all. And he's saying to her, who didn't want to do this? Our females are very modest. They don't want to come out. They stay in the background. But y'all rule the house. Y'all the boss of the house. Believe me, you're the lord of the house. You're in charge. Because why? They have to raise us. Yes, we was children. Our mothers raised us, not the father. The father is not over top of the child. Because we might abuse them. We are masculine. We don't know our strength. That child would not spank her baby where it would hurt her. She'll spank him to get his attention. But she will never hurt her baby. She will never kill her baby. She will never try to make her baby out of a dog. He got her. She got tough. Either way, it gives her sensitivity and sex and love and to be able to be kind to us. Brothers and sisters, if you're not speaking and I don't call your name, you have to put your phone on mute or hit *6. Put it on mute. And then when I call you, if you're on *6, you got to hit *6 again, and you're off. Or if you're using your phone, you just punch mute on, and you will be able to talk. My beautiful niece, perfect specimen of a mind of a female that is growing on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Mirage Speaks. Salema, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, beautiful. Oh, do I like your greetings. I might be down, but I'm up now.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Thank you for those accolades.
I do have a specific question today.
Okay.
If you can begin by explaining the various processes of janaza.
That's a good question, because I just did a janaza, and it was my nephew. You got to understand, janaza is simple, but you got people coming, Christians, Jews, and at his janaza, he had more cases, 50 of them. He was a teacher of sports for the school, so all them kids came out, even principals. Well, I thought that was a blessing during the holy month of Ramadan and a Friday, which says you should be to heaven. I will continue if you put your phone on mute, whoever is moving around. And therefore, what happened, people don't understand who's in charge of the desert is the man, not the woman. That's not her place. The woman does not do Juma, and it doesn't do janazas. Why? In the absence of the man, she can, but not when the man is present. But the father is the number one over top of the child to hold a janaza. But most fathers don't know how to do it, and most fathers can't do it because of their sensitivity. But he's in charge. So he have to give it to the son, oldest son, or the youngest son, whoever capable. If this oldest son gives it to the other son, yes. Or the uncle. Not a so-called uncle, an uncle, the bloodstream of the family. You give it to the father. You give it to the son. Or the son gives it to his uncle. If you can't do that, then you go to an imam. This myth that you have to go to the imams, most imams don't even know the deceased. You only go to them because you have nobody else. However, most imams, they charge, but they will get barakahs and big barakahs to bury Allah's creation. But they charge, and not only do they charge, but they don't even know the deceased. So it's short. It's cut short. But they disrespect the family members. That's Christians. They can be Jewish. They can be whatever religion they want, but they can't understand what just happened. Because he never said nothing to the right. He got them in the palm of his hand. And he'll introduce to them why we do what we do. So that's a janaza. More important in janaza, you got to understand the rules and the regulations of janaza. It's like a funeral. Now, in fact, the Christians, they praise the accolades of the individual. You would never know if they don't talk about it. So once you leave, everybody say, whoa, he was a very outstanding man. You got some imam says, don't give them their accolades. Isn't that something? Don't give them their accolades. Where they get that from? Because most of us don't understand, Salima, that we have a gift and don't even know it. We pay for this gift. What is the gift? The gift is we was in slavery for 400 years, and Allah raised us up, and majority of us are Christians. We're the minority that comes to Islam. But we don't know we took on, Allah bless us, to come back the original nature of yourself as a human being, but who's our mother and father, our ancestors? They was Muslims. How do I know that? It's because it's a sin to put a Christian in slavery. So he went and got the Muslims from Africa. Long story. I'll talk about that some other time. So they prayed for us to be able to come back to our Deen al-Fitra. We have. But what we have done is we love the foreigners so much that we take on their understanding. For Allah says, I raised one from amongst you. None of them was raised from amongst us. So why are we going to them? We got a gift. Our gift is the understanding in our nature, in our character, the Holy Quran. And with that makes us superior because God gave it to us. What we did, we gave it back. And now we want them to teach us because they've been around from 1400 years ago, but yet they was unintelligent. And they still unintelligent. And they still got holy royal families and cutting heads off and mistreating the woman, but we want to follow them. No. Allah gave us a gift. And sometimes it's right in your family and you don't even recognize it. That's the morals. That's the morals of a janazah. Now, making the prayer of janazah is simple. Why is it silent? It's four takbirs, but why is it silent? It is silent because Allah don't need you to talk. Revelation is lit. So you cannot lead prayer, Brother Imam. Zuhr, 9. That's 1 o'clock. He will not quote the Quran during Zuhr. He will not quote the Quran during Asr. Why? Because it's lit. Allah don't need you to talk. So how could you talk at a janazah when you're making, not prayer, you're making a dua? You don't let nobody hear your dua. So why are you making a dua out loud as if you begging God for something we didn't do? So I don't need you to do my dua. But if you're doing a simple one for the body, you're letting everybody hear what you're saying to that flesh. No, you ain't talking to the flesh. You're talking to the spirit of the individual. The flesh goes into the ground is nothing but that's what it is. Flesh, mud, dirt, clay. But we ain't praying to the grave. That individual is not in the grave. That individual have left. Then we came here in the spirit of God. We didn't come here dead. We was alive. We made the earth come alive. Allah says, I created the Khalifa in the earth. We call it man. It's okay. But the woman, if he would have said man, the woman would have been cut off. The name Khalifa sounds more feminine than it do masculine. So Allah is saying, you can't forget her. I created a Khalifa in earth. But before the earth moved, it was nothing but clay, mud, and dirt. It can't go nowhere without the spirit. So now the flesh is going down in the grave. You think that's the individual. Some people want to jump in there. They want to jump in. What are you going to do? You're going to kill yourself? Oh, that's human. But that's flesh. Don't sin. So you ain't got to pray for the flesh. Because the flesh didn't sin. How did I know that? Well, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up for an enemy. He was Jewish. They had a lot of wars. And he stood up. Abu Bakr tried to pull his coat, sit back down. That's the enemy. He said, no, Abu Bakr, you stand up. That flesh didn't sin. The one that was in that flesh sin. So you can't put it on the body. So Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried to get us away from paganism. Oh, we came back to, we worried about the grave. We worried about the flesh. We weren't thinking that it's going to stand up later on and talk to Allah. Who brought us all of this? That's Satan. Satan wants to confuse you. and wants you to step out of your creativity. The man is the masculine one. Well, what about his soul? Is equal to the female? What about his spirit? Equal to the female? What about the DNA feature? Is equal to the female? What about his taqwa? Is equal to the female? Didn't I say, Allah says, didn't I say he's masculine? That's it. So that's why he's ahead. Well, why? Why is the sister cannot lead the prayer for Juma? Why can the sister lead the janazah? Well, simple. Every female has a menstrual. They're going through a clean period of time. That dismisses you for not being consistent in leadership. The man don't have that. So he's the leader not just this year, not just this month, not just this week, and not just this day. Every second he is a man. So therefore, Allah put him in leadership, but the man went crazy and thought you don't have ability. You do. Matter of fact, you should be able to sit. Now, Juma, and you hear someone reciting the Quran, subhanAllah, brother. You have the right to say Allah is the best knower. Out loud. And if the woman can read that Quran better than you, you hand it to the sister. Because it ain't feminine, and nor is it masculine. It's the human intellect that is performing the recital of the Quran. Okay, I'm a student of Imam Wadafi Muhammad, and he taught me very well. So the four takbirs are the four seasons. We don't go by this clock, not man's clock. Because if we did a lot, we'd say, I need man. If it's spring, that's our season. And if summer comes around, that's our season. And if fall comes around, that's our season. And if winter comes around, those are the four seasons. Those are the four takbirs. And you don't have to do nothing but make your dua. So the Christian can make his dua. The Jew can make his dua. We all can make our dua. That's my humble opinion. Anything else, my sister, if I answered your question? You there, Salima? You must be on mute and you can't hear me. Anyone else?
Okay, can you hear hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, okay, and then the second question, and many people have this question, if you would give guidance on what's the preferred method, being buried in the ground versus cremation, and why?
Salima, a young man.
Can you?
Yes, a young man. I was speaking at the janazah, and a Christian came up to me. He said, excuse me, sir, I'm a Christian. In the way you was talking, you make me feel easy to come and approach you because you can't approach all Muslims in Islam. I said, what's on your mind? He said, some of our people cremate their loved ones and some do not. Can you tell me the difference from the two? So it was the same question. I brought him up, and I said, can you say that to everybody's listening? But my purpose of saying that was I wanted them to see why they are searching for knowledge. But we so arrogant. Most of us arrogant. Most of us stuck on stupid. Most of us don't want to allow them to ask you a question. And then if they answer the question, it's from somebody. Musa told Kareem, Kareem told Saladin, Saladin told Sajjan. It comes from the Hadith. It comes from the Hadith. Now, I have to say this. There are 99% Hadiths is not authentic. Then they said the 1%, half of that is not authentic. Do you really believe the so-called American Negro, deaf, dumb, and blind, in this situation for over 400 years, do you honestly believe that they said this to authentic? Eli, take over for 1 minute, please.
Eli, he's a assistant to Murad Muhammad. He's asked me to take over. But how can I take over for Murad? Murad has a gift. He remembers everything. Now, I'm a researcher. I research things, and I come up with the answers. But Murad, he can go on for hours just on his mind. He says his computer, his hard drive. And believe me, that's a gift, because many people can't do that. So I would like to kind of share something with you that took place when we were together with the imam. And the imam said, who was at the table, and the imam said, the imam was quiet. He didn't really speak. He was quiet. He was listening. He likes to listen first before he says anything. He wants to hear what you have to say. And really, he's testing you because he has the knowledge, but he wants to speak, whether or not you are humble enough to recognize that you in the presence of a spiritual gift.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Saudi Arabia, and they want me to come to Saudi Arabia for many reasons. It's amazing that I went to the country called Dubai, and I just came in there to ask for $1 billion, $1 billion. They wanted to give me $100 billion, and I said, that's for me. I'm not here for me. I'm here for our people back home. They're a long story, but they brought me in the 7-star hotel. There's no 7-star hotel in America. Everything trimmed with gold. And I sat and talked with these sheikhs. And the whole talk of my 12 days there, but how was you able to make it in a country that's big Satan? I said, big Satan. I said, if you want to kill the Jews, you go to Israel. You want to kill the Christians, you go to Rome. If you want to kill the Muslims, you go to the eastern part of the world. But if you want to kill Muslims, Christians, Jews, come to America, because we're all there. Everyone around the world is in America. That's what Allah wants. So it's not Satan. It's a mentality, of course, but it's free. There's no democracy in Dubai. There's no democracy in these foreign countries. Is either rich or poor. But in America, you can be poor and get rich overnight. It's a land of opportunity. And I believe because of that reason, there's no country ever attacked this country. There's accepting the rule of the Japanese that came over. But that's one. But there's war all over right now today. But there's no war in America. It's a mental war, yes. But there's no physical, there's no holy war. There's no guerrilla warfare in America. So they kept me for a long time. So much for that. Let's good back to what we were talking about. If I can recollect, because I don't have to, I can forget. Man, Salima, that I explained to that young man, you can't fault the parent that wants to put their child in the fire. They do it for one or two reasons. One, that was the request of the receipts, the deceased. Two, it's cheaper. And they don't have the money to burn, to put them in the funeral. Will Allah punish them? No, tensions. So we can't judge them. We have no right. You can't judge yourself because you didn't create yourself. So you have some people that was taught to believe that. You know why the Christians are so close to us, brothers and sisters? We can say because the Bible started with Genesis and ended with Revelation. We can say that. Because the Quran begins with revelation, or means a continue of the Bible. We can also say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Those who was born in the religion is blessed. Those who came from a religion and embraced Islam, El Islam, is what double blessed." Whoa. Why do we say the Christians are most closer to us than any other religion? They are sincere. You taught them to love Jesus. They sincere. Them that Jesus was God, they were sincere. You taught them that he was the Son of God. They were sincere. You taught them that Jesus was the sacrifice of their sins. You taught them he was nailed to the cross. He was crucified. They were sincere. We in Al-Islam, we are sincere. And that's why they are close to us. So I said, young man, you are now questioning me because you in doubt. But those who chose to bury them the way they was taught and those who believe it's the best they can do. And those who accept the wishes of the deceased, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish you. He grabbed and hugged me. That's the answer. That's the answer. But most of us will say it's shirk. I don't even know where they found the word to use because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used that word. They use the word mashallah, mashallah. I never heard the prophet use that. I never heard that. But they came here and gave us new languages and yet standing up and didn't even know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were standing upright and we didn't know how to go down the sajda. We didn't smoke. We didn't drink. We don't drink alcohol. We don't sex free women. The Honorable Muhammad cleaned us up, but they all come over here and do just that. Matter of fact, they open up their shop and sell you pork. These are men that came over here and say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But when you get them alone and you say, how could you learn this Quran all your life and come over here and you do the opposite. They say, I never believed when they was teaching us. It was obligated, postry, that we read the Quran. It's compulsory for us to go down Sajda or you will be an outcast. You see what Allah says? There's no compulsion in this religion. And you do not force your blessing on anybody else. So let's see what Allah says in the Quran. All you Jews, Christians, and Sabbaths, it's a religion. It exists right now today. Believe in one God. In the hereafter, there will be no burden on you. It didn't say nothing about Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It didn't say nothing about Al-Islam. He named three religions. So Allah is most merciful. He said it wouldn't be no burden on them. And he told us, don't judge them by the Quran. They don't know the Quran. How are you going to call them a kafir and they don't even know the Quran? So you can't judge them by a book they never read, but judge them by their book. Because there's a lot of good in those books by the religion they have created. So that's the difference from cremating. We don't cremate because everything in us have to go back in the water, in the earth. The water that's in us, the protein that's in us, the enzyme that's in us, all that goes back to where it came from. So we don't destroy God's creation. However, if you're doing an autopsy on me for the sake of I was killed by something someone else done, it's okay. Because it's going to eat up by the ants anyway. It's going to be eat up by the termites anyway. Come back later. And there's nothing but bones there. So that's salaka. Charity, that's salaka. When you feed those babies, those insects, they waiting for it. And people say, you got to rush it. You got to rush it to the grave. Who told you that? That's not in the Quran. You got to rush it to the grave. Yeah, if it stink, you're going to rush it to the grave. But this come out of the freezer. They didn't have freezers back then. So it ain't not going to stink. So why are we rushing it to the grave? Because we put emphasis on the grave. But we don't have a clue what we're talking about. The idea, you can pray for the soul once it gets in the grave. When the body gets in and goes down in the grave, now you can have a janazah anywhere you want that didn't show up. But you cannot have a janazah while it's outside the grave. It's got to be put back in so you can feed the insects and they can regurgitate it back into the earth in which it came from. But because you took a few of them out of billions, you took a million, how about 1 billion that you did autopsy on to find out how to cure whatever happened to that individual. That's permissible. Allah will not punish you for that. That's my humble opinion. Anything else, Salima? Take your phone off the mute and tell me if anything else on your mind.
Assalamu alaikum. No, but Imam Eliyu was telling a story, and he was using Imam as an example. If he could continue that, that was really wonderful.
What was you saying, Eliyu?
Well, I'll save that for when Sister interviewed me on Saturday.
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
That'll be excellent because it was just I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, this is very important. So wonderful. Thank you.
I think, Andrea, are you out there? This is my long time supporter for over 8 years. She said she's not going to go a day and miss me for speaking. Are you there, Andrea?
Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan.
I'm just sitting back here enjoying all the answers that you gave, Salima, Salima always has, you know, good questions. And it was very well put. Imam Obey, I enjoyed you during his absence, and I can't wait to hear the interview with Salima. Oh, I'm supposed to be asking a question now. I'm sorry.
That's good.
Okay. Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. I'm trying to remember what I saw there. Okay, this is what I want to ask, because people have come and asked me, tell me, when Ramadan is over, the prohibited month, our sacred month of Ramadan, you know, we all try to finish up the Al-Quran. What if a calamity or act of God, something happens, I put it that way, and you can't finish it in the time that was allowed? Can you still finish it? I mean, we're supposed to read the Quran every day anyway, but can we still finish it in unison after the prohibited month, the sacred month?
I think that's an excellent question. We don't know the difference from the Islamic country. If you was in an Islamic country, you would never miss your prayer because everything stops at prayer time. Not in America. There's so much going on that we go against the American grain to do what we have to do, that we don't break no law. In fact, that you was in an Islamic country, you'd have read that Quran three times. No such thing that you have to. The Honorable Muhammad told us to do one third because he knew you wasn't going to read that Quran all the way within 30 days. I've read the Quran over and over, and one time I did do it three times before it was over. So there's no limit compulsion where you stop at. But if your intention, as you just did, if you wanted to read it and because of circumstances, Allah would give it to you as if you read it. And there are men and women that read that book from Fatiha to An-Nas, and come out of Ramadan and go right back to Satan's ways. A lot of them. So what was you doing? Was you pretending? I'd rather see a female or male means to read that Quran and only got one third. How about just only got a half? Or come out of Ramadan and evolve in their character. What's the difference? One, Allah bless because he knows your heart. And the other one, he knows when you pray. Only Allah can make that choice. So this is an individual obligation to the individual. It's not for Allah. It's for you. It's for you to exercise, come compulsory and consistent in what you want to be in during the month of Ramadan. And you'll find yourself for the rest of the 9 months from now, you'll find yourself a better person. But those who just go through the ritual and trying to prove somebody to, well, you don't have to tell nobody if you're fasting. It's none of their business. Is you fast or is you fasting? This is for you. It's like being a fat man or a fat woman and you don't exercise. Well, you're not going to lose the weight. But if you chose to be able to do more than what you used to do, whoa, they said, my God, you lost 20 pounds. Well, you didn't mean to lose 20 pounds. It's physical, but we're saying here, you get more enlightenment. Today is the night of power. That's a whole new story, the night of power. And people think the night of power means, yes, Lord, Eli, I'm calling you. God, I'm calling. No, that's spookism. So what is the night of power? When you come into an understanding, reading the Quran, and you see something there, like I saw in the first part of the juice of the Quran, it says, Allah says, my will is greater than your will. Now, I read the Quran many times, but that hit me. And he said, your will got you in trouble. But if you would let my will supersede your will, the burden that your will is giving you will be raised. Whoa! Allah is saying, I'm the one who wills good. Trust in me. Forget your will because your will ain't doing right. Allah said, trust in me, and I will help you. We don't understand that, but that's in the Holy Quran. So, no, sister, you do the best you can. There's no one there calling it a damn. There's no one outside turning it on. Or you might can hear the bell go ding, ding. That's Christianity. They get ready to go to church. They know it's time to go to church. So they told us that we couldn't call the Adam. We took them to court. If you can make all that noise in our neighborhood for church, you saying we can't say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We won. So now we turn ours on the outside. So sometimes you hear ding, ding. Now you hear Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The reality of where we are. We're not in a Islamic country. We're a minority. And we try and do the best we can. I'll go so far as to say, since you asked that question, I'll go so far to tell you, if you come home and you're tired, Allah don't want you to make no salah. You're going to fall asleep in sajda. You're going to forget. But if you make your prayers before you go to bed, and you make your prayer when you wake up for prayer, those are two important prayers. The rest of the prayer is to keep you in line, because we men will be fine early in the morning, but then before 12 o'clock, we commit a sin. But how you going to commit a sin? It's time for prayer. Oh. Now we got another 3 or 4 hours for Asa. We're going to commit a sin. No, it's time for prayer. Now it's going down. We're going down into darkness. That they say you hide in darkness. No, darkness is peace, but hey, you're getting ready to sin, but it's time for prayer. All the way to your bedtime. So those five prayers keep you on the path of the Salat the Mustaqim, keeps you straight. It's a mercy from Allah. It allows you to recognize it's time for prayer. But you don't go to prayer hurt and sick. You don't come to prayer tired. I give you one, I'll leave you with this. You come in the house, you hungry. Boy, are you hungry. But you're going to make up your prayer. Your wife got the food on the table. Now you know perfect well. You just going through the ritual because you can't wait to get to that food. You smelled it when you came in. So we can always make up our prayer. Plus, he suffered over that stove to feed you. So you eat it. Now you go make your prayer up if that's what you want to do. But Allah is not putting a burden on you. I got to make up Asa, and my grip, and I got to do all of them in one. No, man. This is America. You're not in an Islamic country, but we are doing pretty well in trying to recognize that we serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's my humble opinion. Hopefully I answered your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
I invited my brother, Samad. And Samad is my youngest brother. You would think he's my big brother if you've seen him, because he looked like he's a football player, and he can be hired any day to fight to play on a football team. But he's my youngest brother. Actually, he's the baby of the family. Samad, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, Assam, how are you?
I'm fine. I got some questions. I got four questions I'm going to give to you real quick. They on janaza, and one you answered, a few of them you probably answered. Brother told me that it was haram the brothers, they make this religion more difficult than what it is. Brother told me he couldn't come to the janazah because it's haram or forbidden for Muslims to pray at a gravesite, so I'm not going. So I called another brother, and he said, well, he's right, it's in the hadith, but Allah's forgiven God. You can't tell your sister I'm not going to your nephew's janazah because we don't pray at gravesites. Go to the janazah. Then the other one was, you answered this one, body got to be up or down in the grave before you pray. And I was at the funeral last Friday, and a brother called everybody over. All right, everybody come pray, Muslims only. And my sister said, brother, we all Muslims. Muslim only means one that believe in God. You dividing us. It should be more prayers, the better. And then you could touch on a repast for janazas. And that's it. That's all I got.
You must think your brother got this ability to remember everything you just said. So if I miss any one of them, please intervene. But they're good questions because that's fresh on my mind. You see, the hadith, I just spoke about the hadith.
You did.
The Prophet said if they knew the hadith would mess people up like it's doing, they would have never released the hadith. The hadith came after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is not in the Quran. What the hadith is actually saying to those brothers that the Quran is not sufficient. Because if it was sufficient, you would go in the Quran and see if it's there. But most of them say, well, we can't comprehend it. So the hadith will teach us how to comprehend it. Now Allah is not sufficient. See, brother, the hadith is the ones that's not authentic. Why? We're Negroes. Now, I can say a verse in that. They look at us as nigger because they used the word nigger because we was from Niger. They couldn't say that word, so they say nigger. But then we came ugly because of how they treated us, so we don't like that word. They don't know how to say Niger, and rightfully so, because that's a country where most of us came from, those doctors and lawyers and engineers and all kind of very good different skills. But the point is, why would you give a man a hadith? The hadith said. He didn't say the Quran said. He said the hadith said. So he's confused to think that the body of the grave is not live. So are you worshiping the grave? If you are and you fearful of the grave, yes. Don't. And we didn't pray. You had never seen no one go down and sajda. That's prayer. Stand straight up. And you open your hands and you're begging God. But we don't know what you're begging for because you're begging God to bless this human being. Bless the human being, and we're showing the respect of the flesh, but you're praying to his spirit. You're praying that Allah save his soul. So they say, we come from Allah, we return to Allah. Where we come from? We come from this dead world. We come from your low morals. We come from your being a liar and a con artist and a pimp and a hustler. How about being a prostitute? We come from that. Where are you coming back to? You're coming back to your deen al-fitr. You're out of your nature to make a statement like that. But you got a right to. But it has no validity to it. So prayer is going down in your rakah. Dua, you standing up, sitting up. Where are you going to be laying? Put your hands up and beg Allah. You open your hands because you ask Allah to come in. You invite them in. So it's no such thing. That's spookism. When I was a little guy, we used to run across the grave to the other side, but I was scared thinking some skeleton is going to come out of there. Well, we don't believe that no more. We believe this is shirk. You shouldn't play in the grave. Well, you want to put flowers on the grave? That's paganism. You want to go visit the grave? Well, guess what? Mommy and daddy ain't in there. I heard somebody say, we got to put some flocks on the grave. For what? Where is mommy? Somebody asked me. She here somewhere. I had a young lady was angry with me. I mean angry because I didn't put her where I'm at. I said, good, be there. No, that's your grave. Mine ain't in there. My mama ain't in there. Put me at the end of the grave. That's my flesh. That ain't me. But we hung up. I want to lay next to my mother. I want to lay next to my father. I want to lay next to my husband. Yes, I want to lay next. You ain't laying next to nobody. Matter of fact, the guys who robbing, they just said this in Hillside, the guys are digging you up. They dig you up for two reasons. To see if you got any diamonds or pearls or anything gold that you're going to leave on them, like they're going to wake up with them like Pharaoh thought. Or you take their organs. Why is that great? Because your organs are worth millions. And Muslims, they live healthy. So they want to rob the graves now. They ain't afraid. They know who's in that grave. So the point I'm saying to you, that we don't accept. No, that's wrong. And what was the other one?
Okay, the other one was brother called people over. Brother was calling people over, and he said, Muslims only.
Okay, I got it.
In other words, you wasn't a believer. If you wasn't a believer, this is when they first put the body to the grave last Friday.
I got
brother shouted out, Muslims only.
I got three more minutes. Let me tell you this. Close on this. First of all, every human being is a Muslim, regardless what their religion. Religion and your nature is two different things. Religion does not make you. It's like a woman can't make you a man. Religion can't make you the human nature in which you was created. It can give you guidance. It can complement you. But if you come into a religion as a no good scum of the earth in Christianity, you're no good Christianity as a human being. You're no good if you was Jewish. And you surely ain't no good if you call yourself an Islam. But you can't take their nature from them. So the birds, the bees, the animals, the trees, the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, everything in creation submits to the will of God. So that means that brother doesn't have that knowledge. So he speaks loosely and say, you Muslims, they all sit around there. All the white folks sit around and say, what are you doing? I'm a Muslim. What do you mean? I submit to the will of God. No, I don't see you in my heart beating like your heart beat. It submits to the will of God. It's the creation of Allah. And it says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Regardless of what I say out my mouth, I can't take my nature away from him. So he doesn't know that. So he makes that stupidity statement. So that's how you can tell a person. Let him open their mouth. All I do is hear a few lyrics, and I know there ain't no hit. I got to get away from that. Last but not least, there's one more you had. I want to answer that.
The other one was passes. This is a repass. Christian repass and there's a repass.
I got it. Repass comes from Christianity, but it's not haram. It's not her aunt. It's family come together, friends are coming together, and you're enjoying it. So that's, to me, that's a great thing, because we
I'm on conference call.
To get up and speak very well.
I'm on conference call.
I mean, she got up and spoke very well, but we wouldn't have known that if we all would have went somewhere. So it started in Christianity. There's nothing haram about that. So, but it's not, as son says, Dad, is that outdated? No, you're not obligated to believe that Allah is God. Allah freed you. That's something we created. Just like they created the birthday of Prophet Muhammad. We don't celebrate that birthday. Ali, we don't celebrate Ali's birthday. Shabam, we don't celebrate that.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Somebody got their phone open. Man created all these different holidays. There's only two holidays, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. That's it. You do more, that's on you. That ain't Allah. That's not the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to thank you all for listening. We went over time. I always close out at 8 on the month of Ramadan. But I will say this. Imam Walisi Muhammad told me, when you teach the Quran, you are praying. You can always make up your prayer, but Allah will bless those who didn't have this understanding. So when they go and do their prayer, they'll pray and understand why they're praying. So we have to be able to give back. Because if you don't, Allah will give you no more. And if I taught 5 million people and only one got it, Allah will reward you as if all 5 million. So how could I lose with the stuff I use? If I say anything to hurt you, apologize from the bottom of my heart. That's not my intention. If I say anything that allows you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen and the fitrah in the nature in which you was created. Stand up that you believe in God. You have faith in God. But without love, it doesn't reach God. So if you're able to do that and you stood up in your taqwa, well, don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you from our father, Adam. I greet you from our father of the intellectual mind of all nationality, Ibrahim. He's not the father, he's the son of Adam, just like we are, but he's the father of the intellectual mind because he left all this paganism and no one taught him that, and he went searching for God. I greet you from Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim, and Jesus was here to do the work, as they say, of his father. Well, I'll go with that. He came to do the work of Allah, and then when his time was up, Allah removed him. I greet you from Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessed to be upon the Prophet. When we salute him with the excellent salute, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the Prophet. When we say that, you are now greeting all the prophets. If it was 500,000. You have greeted all of them by giving the salute to the seal of the prophet of all the prophets is in him. And Allah says there's not one prophet over the top of another prophet. They all came as slave servants, and they're not a prophet of mine. They are the slave servant of mine. They are prophet to us, and we can't call them our prophet. He don't prophesize for us. We say, Salakallah wa deen, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon all the prophets. I greet you with all you that I thank that came out, came on the radio, and we say a dua. All those deceased, we ask Allah to separate their faults from their goodness, as thou separate the east from the west, and grant them Jannah. We ask Allah to help those who have COVID-19 or ill for any reason whatsoever, to lift their burden and make it easy on them. We ask Allah to bless those who gave charity, those who wanted to give but could not give them their barakahs for good intentions. Surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. Tune in on Wednesday, Ilal Day. We'll be back from 7 to 8. He comes back on Thursday from 7 to 8. And give it to our beloved brother, Musa Muslim Abui, the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. And we thank him for being our engineer, which is Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah will be out of me. Tune in. If you're going to listen to Imam Ilal Day, who's been with me and his brother for 40 years, Salima, my niece Salima Muhammad, and Dr. Nadira Muhammad, and pretty soon, in the next 3 or 4 months, Salima will be doctored too. She ain't gonna let her little sister outbeat her. And tune in at 11 o'clock a.m. And tomorrow, that's Saturday, but tomorrow after that Sunday, comes Dr. O, who teach you, your own physician. May Allah be with you. Peace and love. Assalamu alaikum.
Conference recording. This session is no longer being recorded.